Romans, seen from the perspective of the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit. Volume 2. Biblical Exposition and Sermons. Paul C. Jong. Please note the following. Scripture quotations used in this book are from the New King James Version, American Standard Version. Preface. True freedom and the completion of salvation, enjoyed by surrendering to God's righteousness. Beloved readers, as I place this book in your hands, I harbor one earnest hope. It is the hope that everyone who reads this book will lay down the burden of sin remaining in their hearts and surrender before the truth of salvation that God has already perfectly accomplished through Jesus Christ. Today, numerous people confess that they believe in Jesus, yet in their hearts they cannot shake off the questions, "Am I truly saved? Why do I still feel like a sinner?" I know well how deep that agony is. And I also know where the root of that agony lies. It is precisely because they know only half of the gospel. The book of Romans, recorded by the Apostle Paul, is the essence of the Christian gospel, and a great epistle that most systematically reveals God's plan of salvation. In the previously published Romans from the perspective of the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit, 1, through the words of Romans, chapters 1-5, we dealt with the foundation of God's righteousness, obtained not by works of the law, but only by believing in Jesus Christ. It proclaimed the great truth that although through one man, Adam, all people became sinners through the obedience of one person, Jesus Christ, many people become righteous. Now, this following book, Romans from the perspective of the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit, 2, centering on the words from Romans chapter 6-10, deeply illuminates how a saved righteous person can completely escape from the yoke of sin and the law and walk in newness of life, and what the true completion of salvation is. The agony begotten by a half-gospel within Christianity today, a faith that understands only Jesus' death on the cross as the entirety of salvation is widely spread. The confession that Jesus shed blood on the cross for my sins is certainly a part of the truth. However, that alone does not explain how our sins were transferred to Jesus. If one does not know for whose and what sins the blood shed on the cross was for, and when and how those sins were transferred to Jesus, the meaning of the blood of the cross cannot be fully connected. As a result, many believers come to make this confession: I am a sinner who commits sin every day, but I receive the eradication of sins case by case through the blood of Jesus. In this confession, the consciousness of being a sinner still remains. The fear that one will become a sinner again, if one does not repent every day, does not disappear. Therefore, they try to add their own efforts, with the thought that salvation will be completed if they pray harder, dedicate themselves more, and repent more deeply. However, this is an attempt to add one's own righteousness to the salvation that God has already perfectly accomplished. The Apostle Paul firmly diagnosed this by pointing out For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. There is only one way to escape from this agony. It is to fully know and believe the true gospel that the Bible testifies to, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit. The gospel of the water and the Spirit, baptism, the cross, and resurrection. The Apostle John testified like this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood." Jesus is not one who came only by water, baptism, nor is he one who came only by blood, the cross. He came together by water and blood, that is, baptism and the cross. When resurrection is added to this, the ministry of salvation is completed. The gospel in which these three are connected as one is precisely the gospel of the water and the Spirit. When Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River in the year he turned 30, when John the Baptist declined, Jesus spoke like this, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. In this word, "it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness," the secret of salvation is contained. This baptism was not a simple sign of humility. It was the event in which the Old Testament sacrificial law of the laying on of hands, that is, the law where a sinner laid hands on the head of the sacrificial offering to transfer their sins to that offering, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 16, verse 21, was completed by John the Baptist, who was in the position representing humanity, laying his hands on Jesus' head and bestowing baptism. All the sins of all humanity were transferred to Jesus' body once and for all. The word John the Baptist cried out right after testifies to this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," John chapter 1, verse 29. Because Jesus received the transfer of the sins of the world through baptism, his shedding blood and dying on the cross could become the just judgment for our sins. Why was the sinless Son of God hung on the cross? It is because he took charge of the sins of humanity through baptism. The declaration, "It is finished," John chapter 19, verse 30. That Jesus finally cried out on the cross is God's righteous conclusion that everything the law demanded was completely handled. And by resurrecting 3 days after his death, it was eternally confirmed that the baptism he received and the blood he shed were the perfect ministry of salvation acknowledged by God. Baptism, the cross, and resurrection. These three are one ministry of salvation that can never be separated. Without baptism, one cannot know for whose and what sins the blood of the cross is for. Without the cross, one cannot know how the judgment of sin ended. Without resurrection, one cannot know whether all that ministry was acknowledged by God. Only when these three are connected as one is the complete righteousness of God finished. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 14 declares the once-for-all nature of this salvation like this. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Past sins, present sins, and future sins are all included within that once-for-all ministry. The flow of Romans chapters 6 to 10 dealt with in this book. This book unfolds this great truth of salvation step by step following the flow from Romans chapter 6 to 10. Romans chapters 6 and 7 deal with the life of newness, having died with Christ, and having been made alive with Christ. For us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, our old man was crucified on the cross, united with Jesus, death. Our old man was a person who acted as a slave to sin. It was a person who was condemned under the law. That old man died with Christ. Therefore, we no longer act as slaves to sin, and escaping from the condemnation of the law, we come to enjoy the true freedom of living as those alive to God. The Apostle Paul explains this in chapter 7 by lifting up the parable of a woman with a husband. While the husband is alive, the wife is bound by the law of her husband. But if the husband dies, she becomes free from that law, since we too were put to death to the law through the body of Christ. We are now not under the condemnation of the law, but have become those who belong to the resurrected Christ. Of course, the Apostle Paul laments, in the latter part of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 7, verse 24. This is an honest confession that even a born-again person experiences internal conflict every day as long as they wear the flesh. However, this lamentation does not end in despair. It leads to the confession of thanksgiving. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. The one who delivers from the body of death is only Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 is the chapter that emits the most brilliant light in this entire book. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This one verse is God's confirmed verdict given to those who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Even if our flesh is weak and lacking, our sins have already been completely handled through Jesus, baptism and cross. Therefore, God cannot condemn us again. Satan constantly brings up our weaknesses and tries to condemn us. However, we must oppose him with this word. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not our feeling, but God's word. It is not our condition, but God's verdict. A person who accepts this verdict by faith can escape from the chains of guilt and boldly step forward before God. Romans chapter 9 does not stay at the assurance of salvation, but turns its gaze outward. The Apostle Paul confesses like this, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. The people of Israel were a nation that received the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. However, they did not know Jesus Christ, who is the substance of all those things. They did not realize the fact that the principle of the transfer of sins pointed to by the Old Testament sacrificial system, that is, the law of laying hands on the sacrificial offering to pass on sins, was completed through Jesus' baptism. So in Paul's heart, there was continual grief. One who has realized the true gospel is not satisfied only with their own salvation. They come to harbor a holy sorrow and love towards souls who do not yet know the gospel. This is the heart of the Holy Spirit working within one who knows the gospel. Romans chapter 10 is the theological climax of this book. The Apostle Paul diagnoses the problem of Israel like this. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 3. They had zeal, but that zeal did not stand upon correct knowledge. Without knowing how God saves humanity from sin, they tried to establish righteousness with their own will and effort. And Paul declares, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Romans chapter 10, verse 4. Because Christ personally fulfilled all the demands of the law through baptism, the cross, and resurrection, there is now nothing for us to add to it or subtract from it. Salvation is not far away. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Believing this gospel with the heart and confessing it with the mouth, this is the entirety of salvation. Regarding the composition of this book goes beyond simple doctrinal explanation and is composed of Bible studies and sermons that exposit the text of each chapter, as well as clear questions and answers to help readers understanding. The Bible studies unravel the flow of the text step by step, and the sermons vividly deliver the core message of each text. And the questions and answers directly deal with the doubts readers harbor the most, revealing the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit more clearly. When these three formats harmonize together, readers come to repeatedly encounter the same truth from various angles, and that truth takes root deep in their hearts. In particular, this book squarely deals with the problems of erroneous faith commonly found within Christianity today. A faith that emphasizes only the blood of the cross and does not know Jesus' baptism. A faith that tries to supplement salvation with one's own repentance and dedication. A faith that condemns oneself because of the weakness of the flesh. A faith where religious zeal is fervent, but there is no true peace in the heart. It diagnoses the root of all these problems with the word of the Bible and presents the prescription called the Gospel of the Water and the Spirit. An earnest plea given to the readers. Beloved readers, while writing this book, I did not let go of one heart. That is the heart the Apostle Paul confessed in Romans chapter 9. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. When I think of the souls who do not yet know the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the souls who are suffering from the problem of sin in their hearts, even while saying they believe in Jesus, my heart is also like this. If sin still remains in your heart, If your religious zeal is fervent, but you have no true peace, I earnestly plead with you to now lay down your own righteousness. Accept with your heart the truth of salvation that God has already perfectly accomplished. That is, the fact that Jesus took charge of all your sins through the baptism he received from John the Baptist, received the judgment for those sins on the cross, and eternally confirmed your salvation by resurrecting. This is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. This is God's righteousness. To the one who surrenders before this gospel, the great declaration of liberation comes. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I earnestly pray that everyone who reads this book will be liberated from the law of sin and death, and come to enjoy true freedom and eternal richness, with absolutely no condemnation in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Paul C. Jung. The Romans Biblical Exposition series you are now listening to consists of 16 chapters in total. This second volume covers chapters 6 through 10. The content is organized by topic and divided into three sections: Biblical Exposition, Sermon, and Question and Answer.